today, for the next couple of Sundays, I want to share just about eight things and eight prayers and things that I have on my heart and have in my mind. And I believe these will apply to your life. It's not just our church. It's not just a corporate thing. But you're going to see how what's happening corporately is truth for what's happening individually as well. It's not just what God is doing for us as a group or as a people, but I believe all of these things will fit into the framework of your house and will fit into your life if you allow them and you apply them. And you'll find out, you know what, I know I go to church on Sunday, but somehow I live in the blessing of church Monday through Saturday as well. I worship with my church family on Sunday, but all week long I'm in the presence of the Lord, and I'm feeling the good blessing of the Lord. And so I want to talk to you 8:8:4:8, and I'm not going to claim these to be in any order of importance. There's only eight, so all of them are important and are non-negotiable in my opinion. But I want to read from Luke 9 today, just a few verses, and I'm really just using this as a backdrop. I'm not really going to preach these verses today. I just kind of want to put them into your heart and into your mind. So that you see them as a backdrop for where we are going. But Luke 9, beginning at verse 22, then he said to them all, Jesus speaking to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very self? Whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. Truly, I tell you, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God. When those few verses end, there is a break in my Bible, and then it is a subheading or a title for the next section or the next few verses. And in my Bible, when Jesus says whoever wants to follow me is going to have to deny themselves and take up their cross, and anyone that wants life is going to have to lose their life to have life in me, and what would it profit someone to gain the world but lose themselves? After he says all of that, the subheading, the title in my Bible is the Transfiguration. Transfiguration means a complete change. In other words, if you believe this and if you apply this, there is going to be a complete change in your life. If you make this kind of commitment, if you have this kind of resolve in your life, if you establish this as your baseline. You say, Pastor Darrell, wait a minute, everything you just read, that's like the height of it. That's at the very top of the list. And Jesus is saying, no, this is baseline commitment. This is where it begins. This is what you are working from. This is the foundation that you are building from. And that commands transfiguration in your life. That commands complete change in your life, because then verse 28, about 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John, and James with him and went up onto a mountain to pray. So here's what I want you to see as the backdrop today. Jesus made them aware of of the cost. He is saying essentially, greatness is not free. If you want to accomplish something, there is going to be a price. Doing something great, being anyone great, accomplishing anything great, it is preceded by great commitment. What are you saying? If we're going to be anything as a church, it's going to be because we are a committed people. If we're going to be anything great for God, how do you define great? Is that famous? No. Is that rich? Not necessarily. How do you define great? If you are effective, if your life is impactful, if your business is impactful, if your ministry is impactful, it is going to be because of significant commitment that has been wrought in your life. I have committed to a thing. I have given myself to a thing. I have bought into a thing. I have established principles in my life. I have exacted disciplines in my life. I have set boundaries in my life, and I am not going to compromise those things because I want what God has for me. That's where I am in leading this house. That's where I am in the calling to pastor such incredible people. Lord, we have to do something in your name. We have to accomplish something for your kingdom. We have to build something in this community. It's not about numbers for me. It's not about reaching some particular numeric goal. It's about being effective. It's about being helpful. It's about being a blessing. It's about making a difference in many, 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 many people's lives, in the heart of a community. It's about seeing complete change, not only in me, but in the life of someone else. So let me get to the first thing that is important. The first of the eight that I see is passion. Passion. If we're going to be anything great, if we're going to see anything great, that it is going to be because there is a passion that is burning in this house. And I start there because everything flows from there. Start with passion because everything begins with passion. Let me ask you a question. What are we passionate about as a church? I'd love for 100 people to answer that question today. I would love for dozens of you to find me after the service to hang out just long enough. Hey, I know the answer to that. You may need to type it into your phone or make yourself a little note, because I would love to hear what you think and I would love to hear what you say. What are we passionate about as a church? What matters to us? What is important to us? Let me narrow that down, because I want this to apply to your life and your home and your family as well. What are you passionate about personally? What matters to you individually? It's probably, those two answers are probably not going to be far apart. What I'm passionate about, what we are passionate about as a church, and what you are passionate about as an individual, those things are going to align pretty closely. They're both going to be very similar in nature, because when you have passion for a thing, you want to see it happening everywhere you are. You want your church to be passionate about that same thing. Passion is like the fuel in your car. Unless you have an electric vehicle, then fuel is like the electricity, the plug-in, the charge that you use to get you from point A to point B. Without it, you're not going to get very far. I ran into somebody at the QT yesterday that had ran out of gas. They were in trouble. They were having to buy a gas can. They were having to figure it out. They were having to find a way to get some more fuel into their vehicle, to get some more passion into their purpose, to get some more motivation into their situation. Because without passion, you are not going to get very far. I'm just wondering how many drove to church today on empty. Anybody drive to church on empty? I mean, like you drove to church. Yeah, I see a hand. I see a couple of hands. Meaning I pulled in the parking lot on fumes, and I know before you go to lunch, before you go to the grocery store, before you run an errand this afternoon, you have got to get to a gas station. And if you're in a real bad situation, you might need to get somebody to follow you. I know how far my car will go. Long, long after the little computer range tells me zero, I know I still got time. I got time. I can go a little further. I can get on down to this next exit. I don't know why I want to go to the next exit. It's like I'm gambling. I won't take that to Vegas, but I'll do it in my car with the fuel. Let me see if I can get just a little further. Without passion, you are not going to get very far. Because when you're on empty, you've got to make decisions. Got to make decisions about what you're going to do and where you're going to go and how you are going to respond. Let me tell you today, passionate people are the source of real change in the world. Passionate people are the source of real change in the world. Every man, every woman, every church will be remembered for their passion, or they'll be forgotten for their lack of it. It's true. Every person, every man, every church, they're going to be remembered for their passion or forgotten for their lack of it. I would imagine every single person in this room has met someone who is really boring. they're just blah. Just boring. And unless you're related to them, they probably did not last long in your life. Because boring people, just passionless people, people that bring no excitement. Why is that? Because they're too much work. You got to carry the whole conversation, and you get back are these one-word answers, and there's just no engagement, and there's just no excitement, and it's not any fun. Or maybe you've been to a boring church. That is my fear. Lord, don't let us ever become boring. I don't want a boring church. I want something happening. I want something moving. I want something stirring. I want something happening in the lobby, something going on in the cafe. Lord, don't let our church ever be boring. We want to keep it interesting around here, because as a church, if we are passionate about what God has asked us to do, guess what? It is going to attract others to join in on this passion. Because passion is contagious. When people come and they feel something, when people come and they experience something, I hear this all the time from guests that become family. I came and I'd never been to a church like this. I'd never felt anything like this. I'd never experienced anything like this, but I had to come back again. I had to come and see, does it happen two Sundays in a row? Does this always happen? Why? Because passion is contagious. Many people are coming from challenging situations, difficult circumstances, hard homes, and broken circumstances, and they come into a room like this that is full of hope and is alive, and the presence of the Lord is moving, and for a brief moment they forget about the brokenness at home, they forget about the challenges in their life, and they just sit in this heavenly place and feel the presence of the Lord. I feel him right now. There's nothing like it. It's incredible. You can be facing unbelievable diagnosis, but get in the presence of the Lord, and God is bigger than the diagnosis. You can be facing an impossible circumstance, but get in the presence of the Lord. Get in a room full of passion, and all of a sudden, you're not worried about the circumstance. You feel like God can do anything. That's passion. And guess what? He didn't plan for you just to feel that here. It's special that we feel it here. It's awesome that we feel it here. And I want the house of God to be special, and I want it to be powerful, and I want the presence of the Lord to move and to work, and for us to feel his glory and to feel his goodness moving in this house. I always want it to be special. I want your kids to get excited when they pull into the parking lot. I want them to start hollering and cheering from the back seat because they know they're going to have fun. They know they know everything is going to be a blast. They're going to run and play and see their friend. I want there to be passion and excitement and fun. But guess what? God wants you to have this same atmosphere in your home. He does. Wants you to have the same passion in your house, because passion is contagious. But I'm going to tell you another truth. Passion can be challenging. Finding that fuel, finding that reason, finding that motivation. Churches and people, it's very easy for them to fall into ruts. That's why it's important. It's important for me to teach this for a couple of Sundays, because churches can fall into ruts. 8 is the number of new beginning. That's what 8 means. That's what the number represents, is new beginning. We're just getting started. They say that a person doesn't truly become the pastor of a church for 5 to 7 years. So all this time we've been spending together, I ain't even been the pastor. I've just, you know. Oh, you're an awesome people, and I thank you for loving us. But it takes time to build trust. It takes time to build rapport. It takes time for you to know, hey, he's not crazy. I think I can go with this. I think I can follow this. I think I can buy in to this. I think I can work with this. It just takes time. It takes time when there is so much skepticism in the world, and when there have been so many trip and so many fall and so many scandals. It just takes time. We watch people for a long, long time, and God being my help, I'm never going to embarrass you, and I'm never going to let you down, and I'm never going to disappoint you. I pray that God keeps me every day, and we're going to walk together, and we're going to work together. But hear me, if this is about new beginning, I do not want this church to fall into a rut where we just keep doing the same things time and time again, Sunday after Sunday, doing the same old, doing things out of tradition instead of out of our passion. Because you know what? No one celebrates a passionless marriage. No one enjoys passionless worship. No one appreciates passionless prayer. It's all boring. It's boring. You can find churches a dime a dozen on every corner that are just, there's no life. And I'm not saying that in judgment, because I'm not called to pastor any one of those. I'm just called to pastor this house, and I know what God has called us to, and I know what God is leading us to, and I know what God is wanting to do in us and through us. And it is a house that has passion that is on fire, passion that is full of purpose. Fashion, passion that is determined. Passion that will not quit. When we feel the rut, when we feel like we're getting over to the edge of, man, why are we just doing this because it's what we do every Sunday, or is it still meaningful to us? Does it still have a purpose? Are we getting something out of this? No, if we're not, then it's time to do away. We're not going to hold on to that just because of tradition, just because it's something that we've always done. No, we're going to be released of that so that we can find what it is that God wants us to do. Because if we're being passionate, if for some reason that passion is contrived or faked or hyped, and then ultimately we're failing, it'll cause you to shrink back. Cause you to shrink back, or some people say, you know what, you're preaching about passion, and you know, I'm guilty. I'm one of those boring people. I just don't get excited much. It's just not who I am. No, God has something for you. God has fire for you as well. I'm not gonna ask you to dance if you got two left feet. I'm not gonna ask you to sing if you can't ever find the note. He's not going to ask you to do what you cannot do, or what he did not gift you to do. But let me just say this, fake is not an option for the Church Covington. I'll say it again, fake is not an option for the Church Covington, for this church. Contrived or ginned up, all hype and no holy. It is not an option for this church. And we don't hit it out of the park every Sunday. We don't get there every. There's today. I've already got a list in my mind. Things that's not our best. We can do that better. We can handle this better. We can flow better here. We can usher better there. We can handle this differently. There's always those things, and that list is always happening in my mind. We're always trying to make it better. But hear me, fake is not an option. All hype and no holy is not an option. Paul told Timothy, he said in 2 Timothy 3 and 5, if they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power, if they deny its power, he said, have nothing to do with such people, because it is form versus power. Power is fueled by passion. If our church is missing the power, if there is no life change, if there is no healing, if there is no deliverance, I don't gauge our success of how great we keep the beat. I don't gauge our success on how well we fry catfish. I gauge our success on whether or not people's lives are being turned in the presence of the Lord. I have to gauge our success by whether or not people are getting delivered from their habits and their hang-ups. I have to gauge our success by what's happening in altars and what's happening in seats out there where hands are lifted and voices are raised in worship. That is passion, and passion is non-negotiable. It's got to be passion. Ah, Pastor Dale, you just come from that Pentecostal background and you just want there to be racket at all times. Well, it's not noise for noise sake. It being Veterans Day, it's appropriate. I'm going to preach in Fayetteville, North Carolina, and I believe that, I got to look this up because this just in my mind, but I believe it's Fayetteville, North Carolina, where they have the sign posted because Air Force and Special Forces, all of I'm preaching there this coming Wednesday night, but they got the sign there that says, pardon our noise. It's the sound of freedom. It applies on this Veterans Day weekend. It's not about hype. It's not about something ginned up. I promise you, it has nothing to do with my ego to hear a few hundred people clapping their hands or lifting their voices in worship. It has nothing to do with me. It has to do with the fact that when you hear that sound, it is someone breaking through. It is someone elevating their mind. It's someone's heart getting to another level. It's somebody choosing to leave their problem behind and saying, you know what, I'm committing my life to Jesus. It's somebody letting go of addiction. It's somebody getting free from a mindset that has kept them trapped all of their lives. But today you hear the sound of freedom. It sounds like clapping. It sounds like hallelujah. It sounds like, come on, preach. It sounds like passion. It's like that husband or wife who just, they come home with the roses, they come home with the chocolates. Oh, sweetheart, I love you so much. You are the most beautiful. You're the most handsome. You are amazing. Oh, my goodness, come here. And the other half of that party is just saying, okay. Sounds good. Whatever. That's not the way it works. That's not what the intended was. No, there's passion. There's passion. There's form versus power. Power is fueled by passion. And he said, if there's no deliverance, if there's no healing, if there's no breakthrough, then have nothing to do with such. Run from that. Folks, we need Jesus because he's the source of all of that. He is the source of all of that. This should stir us. This should move us. Which one, Pastor? Which one of the eight are we going to be the most passionate about? We're going to be passionate about all eight of them because all eight of them are important. But hear me. I want there to be personal passion. Your personal passion is going to be unique to you. We all have a personal motivator, a personal passion that fuels us. It's going to be as unique as the fingerprint that you carry today is unique. It is what moves you, and what moves you moves you. It may not move me. What moves you may not move me. Crocheting does not move me. It just doesn't move me. Brussels sprouts, they don't move me. I don't get excited about them. If I go to lunch today and they tell me, oh, we're out of everything except for Brussels sprouts, I'm going to get up and leave. Because that doesn't move me. I don't get excited about that. My mouth doesn't water. You can look at me and tell I have not built this life on vegetables. I probably need to get more involved and a little more passionate about my vegetables. But until then, pray for me. Struggling. But in the church, there is this unified passion, a unified passion for spiritual things. Are we passionate about breakthrough? Are we passionate about deliverance? Are we passionate about someone's healing? Are we passionate about worship? Do we have this plan that we have to execute? We got this every single Sunday. We know what songs we're doing. We know what order we're doing them in. We know all of the things that are happening. There's the order. We're going to have an order every Sunday because we do things decent and in order. I've been to all those churches where the pastor, hey, Sister Sally, you got a song today. Maybe come up and sing that unrehearsed and let's see how it goes. I've been there, done that. Got the T-shirt I don't need any more of those. I like a little order. I like a little plan. I like when some things are rehearsed. But passion says sometimes something is going to break. Sometimes something is going to happen. Sometimes somebody is going to run it. Sometimes something is going to happen. And what God is saying is, can I trust you? Can I trust you to pivot? I know you got a plan, but can I trust you to pivot? I know he's got 4 minutes and 10 seconds left on the message clock, but what if the Lord needs a few? Am I going to lock in? Is passion going to keep me in my seat? I know I want to get to the buffet before they run out of Brussels sprouts, but I wonder if today I see somebody in the altar and I need to pray with them because they are feeling passion burn in their life. They are feeling breakthrough happening in their life. That's what passion does, ladies and gentlemen. Passion colors outside the line sometimes. Passion moves us and stirs us, and we ought to just take a minute and exercise some passion right now. What does that look like? What does that sound like? What does that feel like? It's just the first one. I'm gonna need about 8 weeks, it looks like. I don't have 8 weeks. Let me get just a little further. Passion is natural. It's part of you. It's something that can be cultivated. Because there's people that you never knew you were passionate about the presence of the Lord because you never experienced it. Until you got here and thought, whoa, where has this been all my life? I didn't know this is something I was going to love as much as I love. I didn't know this was going to happen to me. And all of a sudden, it was always in you. That passion was just directed at other things. So when I recognize that is a passion in my life, I have to recognize it and I have to aim it. Because passion that has not been aimed ends up in a mess. You got to aim your passion. You got to direct and order your passion. Passion is also empowering. Passion creates vision and energy for living. Gives you direction for your life. Because of what you felt today, I'm going to leave this service today and my life is going to be better. I'm not going to get into the same trouble. I'm not going to fall into the same temptation. I'm not going to commit the same sin. I'm not going to think the same things because I have been empowered. My passion is fueling this spiritual desire and this hunger in my life. You know what else? Passion is unconditional. Passion is unwavering. Passion cannot be extinguished, can only be redirected. I don't have time to teach this, but that's how great worshipers can become great sinners. Because there's people that have that you're like, man, that they used to be on, how are they doing what they're doing now? It's because their passion got redirected. And now they're using that energy and that power for something else. Lastly, passion is fleeting. Passion doesn't come and go with every new fad. Or is it according to the seasons of your life? Passion is on. Sounds odd because we've become accustomed to saying, you know, I'm just in a season right now. I'm just the Lord. We always blame everything on the Lord. The Lord just has me in a season of not serving right now. Why? Why did he tell you why he was doing that? Flesh that out. Because passion, it doesn't just come and go. It doesn't just wane. It's something that I work on and keep alive in my life. Passion. I had one more I wanted to get to today, but I'll triple up next Sunday. Don't miss. What are you passionate about? Full circle. What are we passionate about as a church? I'm serious. I would love for so many of you to answer this question today and give feedback, text it, email me. What are we passionate about? What is non-negotiable? What matters to us? Because those are the things that we are going to fight for. Those are the things that we're going to work hard on. Those are the things that are going to mean so much to us.